Good morning, everybody. Glad you're with us this morning on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall, and I know what you're doing. You're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, well, Tom, here's the deal. You have a pathetic life. You never go to the movies. You never do anything exciting. But I'm not you. I'm much more kind of like Nathan Sterner. I get out. I have a happy life. I have a fulfilling life. I'm well-loved in the community. So I'm going to the movies this weekend, and here's the deal. The question is, what movie do I see? This is the question on everybody's minds. Well, gentle listener, you are in luck. Turns out that Jed Dietz, the director of the Maryland Film Festival, and Anne Hornaday, the film critic for the Washington Post, are both sitting here, and they're compassionate and they're empathic with the fact that I have a pathetic life, but they are willing to tell you what movies to go see this weekend. Good morning.
Good morning. We're I have seen you at movies, though.
You have seen me.
Yes.
And you may actually see me in a movie tomorrow. This is actually, to tell you the truth, this is a Dear Diary day for me because I may actually be going to the movies tomorrow.
Because boy, do we have one for you to see.
Yep, and I think it's called Love and Mercy.
You are right, sir.
And it's at the Charles Theater, and it's like a biopic about the Beach Boys leader, Brian Wilson.
Yes, but it's a biopic, but the great thing about it is that it's not a biopic. This is an amazing film directed by a guy named Bill Pohlad, who a lot of us know is a financier of films more than a director of films. And so that's always scary when the money guy decides, I really want to direct. You're like, ugh!
Well, and he's money guy by virtue of being the son of Carl Pohlad, you know, who owned the Minnesota Twins.
Right. Nice Midwestern boy. Career. Right. Yeah. But he's got great taste. I mean, the projects that he has financed in the past have been terrific. And he's working with a script that was co-written by Oren Moverman, who wrote I'm Not There, the Bob Dylan movie.
Mm-hmm. That was a great movie. I love that.
Which was a great, but it's almost
the
same.
One of the three movies I've seen. I enjoyed it.
There you go. So in this case, Moverman has very smartly, gone at the story slant. It's not a literalist biopic. He's really zooming in on two moments of Brian Wilson's life, the time when he was recording Pet Sounds and beginning to record Smile in the mid-1960s, and also starting to experience auditory hallucinations and some mental issues. And then 20 years later, when he meets his second wife, by which time he's come under the malign influence of a guy named Dr. Eugene Landy, who's played by Paul Giamatti in the film. Paul Dano plays the young Brian Wilson in those 1960s years, and John Cusack plays him in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. And Dano is, this is one of those movies I saw at the Toronto Film Festival last year, and from the moment that the movie comes up on screen, you see Paul Dano channeling Brian Wilson, just talking to himself or talking to an unseen person. And you know he's got it. You know, it's just a phenomenal performance.
When you see that.
Yeah, it's just a goosebump. And then the music and the visuals and the emotion of it.
Yeah, you know, and Pet Sounds is sort of, it's one of those records that's come through history, like sort of on the same level as, you know, Sgt. Pepper or something.
I mean,
it's like, it's an iconic record.
Yeah.
Very influential.
And I think we were just talking about it before we went on air. And I think one of the hardest things for really good filmmakers to deliver, let alone a second time director, this is Pohlad's second film, in 20 years. And I think one of the hardest things to deliver is the sense of the artistic process, because it often looks so sort of pedantic or just boring because you see Mozart scribbling or something, you know, and he's really captured it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's captured. It's just an absolutely beautiful film and so moving. And I don't want to give anything away, but for all of the suffering that Wilson has undergone in his life, it just is so triumphant. I mean, it just leaves you floating. It's just absolutely beautiful and wonderful.
Very good. So Love and Mercy, it's at the Charles Theater in Baltimore, opens tonight. Yeah. Another thing that's coming to the Charles is a movie that, Jed, you had at the film festival called The Wolf Pack.
Yeah.
That's going to open at the end of June, the 26th, and that was what you closed the festival with. I mean, briefly, tell us what it's about. This is an interesting documentary.
Yeah, it's amazing. A true story about a group of boys, they have a sister, but it's basically about the group of boys who were basically by their parents kept in their apartment on the Lower East Side of New York for most of their lives. I mean, allowed out like some years just once, that kind of thing. Fear of the neighborhood kind of issues. But they are fed by their father thousands of movies, which they then recreate in incredible detail. And it's just jaw-dropping story.
Instead of raised by wolves, you're raised by movies. Right. I'm not sure which is worse.
Raised by Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
We got to talk about Mad Max,
yes,
which is available in 3D. It's at the Landmark Theater here in Baltimore.
Has to be seen in 3D.
George Miller. And you wrote about this in the Post, and you said that Charlize Theron just steals this movie.
Oh, my She's goodness. Amazing. She just walking away. This was, you know, we may... Well, here's a good time to maybe talk a little bit about the Cannes Film Festival, which I attended this year, which was really kind of lackluster, I have to say.
Yeah, you called it glum in the Post.
It was. It was just a little bit of a downbeat.
How can the place on the French Riviera be glum?
Because we're not on the... We're in like a dark room on the Riviera, you've got to understand. But the movies were
really... With snarky viewers.
Yes, right. But it was a little ho-hum. I mean, the offerings... in some years are like that. It's cyclical. And some of our, you know, most anticipated things didn't pan out as well. So Mad Max arrives, you know, on the cross set and just, you know, gives us all the kind of jolt that we need in terms of pure filmmaking. I mean, it's just such a, you know, it's one of those movies where all the values are intact. The aesthetic values are magnificent. The technical values, the high execution value is high. And then the actual kind of embedded political values, I think, are really important. And to wit, you know, it's called Mad Max, but really, honestly, it belongs to Charlize Theron. Yeah. And there's a lot of kind of implicit critique going on that I really appreciated.
Yeah.
Now, she's a terrific actor. Is this a lot better than the first Mad Max? How is the first Mad Max? Is this like the second or third Mad Max? I can't even remember.
Fourth.
There's a whole bunch of them. So is the Mad Max franchise considered to be, you know, a good franchise?
Yeah, I think from the very beginning, when Mel Gibson played the role that Tom Hardy is playing in this, I mean, I think it sort of blew people away. It made Mel Gibson a star, and the whole visual post-apocalyptic world that is in Miller's head, which is scary to think about, I think really knocked people out, even then in a world as now in a world of computer-generated stuff and very... fancy movies. One of the things that I read in an interview with Miller is that he did 2,700 edits in this movie, which is like that's more than twice, I think, the first Mad Max, and which had plenty of edits. I mean, it was very action oriented. And this whole thing is a car chase, but it's just stunning. It's one of the most beautiful movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, it only goes from A to B to A, but within that, it's just he returns us to a time of like spatial logic.
Yeah.
I mean, his sensibility is so classical and formalist within all this kind of craziness it's very admirable.
Mad Max. Yeah, I'm the kind of person who's disinclined to see these cars blowing up movies.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to hear you say that it's just visually so compelling.
Yeah.
And the performances of Miss Theron is just really incredible.
Yeah. I think as a genre exercise, it's you know.
I think it's stunning film.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Mad Max. That's down at the Landmark.
3D.
3D. That's down at the Landmark here in Baltimore at Harbor East. Jed Dietz from the Film Festival, Maryland Film Festival, and Ann Hornaday, the film critic for The Washington Post, joining me in the studio. I'm Tom Hall. We're talking movies here this morning on Maryland Morning. There's a movie in at the Charles. It's also there currently. It's about a fashion designer, I guess, or a fashion person named Iris Apfel.
Yes.
So the movie is called Iris. She's 93 years old. She's called a fashion icon. This is the phrase we usually use in terms of Jed Dietz, but so I'm willing to use it here in terms of Iris Apfel. But who is she? I don't know anything about
her. Oh, she's wonderful. If anybody, I know of Iris from my years of living in New York and reading the New York Times, because she's a frequent popper-upper in Bill Cunningham's wonderful candid
who's
shots.
In the movie.
Who's in the movie. Yeah. And I wish he had been in more, because for me, the two are sort of inextricably linked. But she's a doyenne. You know, she's a woman who goes out to things and socializes and wears fabulous clothes, all of her own, from her own collection. Some of them couture, some of them not, but she puts them together in wildly inventive ways, and it's a wonderful profile of her.
Mm-hmm. It's a documentary, and it's well done, huh?
Yeah, and they had a textile business that she and her husband really created, and she had really a tremendous impact on giving people confidence. That is the most interesting thing. I mean, so much of the couture fashion world is intimidating because the dresses cost millions of dollars and, you know, who can buy them kind of thing. And she breaks through all of that, because a lot of what she wears, she buys in secondhand stores or in, you know, African-American shops in Harlem. And you see all this in the movie. I would also say one of the most poignant things, as you see her and her husband at the end of their life together, it's also the last movie that Albert Maysles, the great documentary filmmaker, made. And a very young
filmmaker Sean Price Williams worked with him on it. So there's sort of poignancy all through the movie in a wonderful way.
Passing the baton a little
exactly.
bit. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, an end of an era kind of movie. Yeah, interesting. I want to talk about a movie called Heaven Knows What, which isn't around here at the moment, but is on the way, I guess. This mm-hmm. is directed by Josh and Benny Safdie. Is mm-hmm. that how you pronounce their name?
Yep.
It's about, it's kind of like it's a documentary film style, but it's not mm-hmm. a documentary. What's it about, Ian?
Oh, well, this was, it's kind of a naturalistic drama about a young woman who's a heroin addict on the streets of New York. And it's just sort of, it's kind of a look at her life and her obsessive love affair with another junkie. It's features this young woman that the Safdies really did discover on the streets of New York.
Who is a now recovering heroin addict.
It was shot by Sean Price Williams, and I think that is one of the strongest things about it is the cinematography. It's just gorgeous. The story itself, the sort of junkies in love trope, didn't grab me. I don't think that the movie necessarily really works dramatically, but she's a pretty engaging figure herself. Arielle Holmes is her mm-hmm. name. And again, that photography really knocked me out.
It's interesting. Evidently, they improvised most of the scenes, and they use actors who themselves have had issues with drug addiction.
Yeah,
that's an interesting way to approach a movie. And yeah, it's not a documentary. It's a
yeah. These are fascinating filmmakers. We had them at the festival a couple of years ago with a film called Daddy Long Legs that is not at all about drug addiction, but it has much the same sort of mix of fiction and nonfiction. And also some of the same artists that they work with. Ronnie Brownstein and his wife are involved in this movie, too. So they're people to, if you're interested in cinema, it's something to look for.
All right. So it's Heaven Knows What. It's coming soon. We're not exactly sure. Well, I want to talk about a movie that's on HBO. It's called Nightingale.
Yeah.
This is a movie starring David Oyelowo, who was, of course, you know, so great at
King,
and is playing Martin Luther King in Selma. What's this one about?
So he's the only guy in the movie. These are new writer and director, and it's about a guy unraveling. And you see him in his apartment. He talks on the phone to various people. You're not quite sure whether they're real people on the other end of the phone or not. And he's preparing for an event that may be really going to happen or maybe not. And so it's a little study, 84-minute study of a type of mental illness and unraveling that's a fascinating thing to see. And there are a bunch of little surprises in it. And this guy is just an actor that I think you want to see everything he's in.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of reminds me of that Robert Redford movie when he was alone on the boat.
Right.
I mean, the whole movie is just him on the boat.
Right.
It sounds like this is just Mr. Oyelowo in this apartment.
And I haven't caught up with it yet, but I mean, he is such a galvanizing figure and such a mesmerizing actor that I can imagine him carrying just about anything.
Yeah. The American Film Institute in Silver Spring, Bethesda, wherever that mm-hmm. is, opens on the 17th of June, so it's a week from Wednesday. And the opening night doc is, and this is a festival of documentary films, it's called Best of Enemies. It's a documentary about the debates between Gore Vidal and William F. Buckley in 1968. Those are two incredible characters.
Oh, man.
Jaw-dropping characters. I mean, these are guys who were real celebrities of their time, and you will not believe it, even if you lived through that era and remember them as celebrities. Most people in my office never heard of these guys, but you will look at them with your mouth open and just it's stunning that this whole thing happened. And it's the most wonderful movie to see because their dislike for each other, it's culture wars 101, because they really resented each other, not just for ideological reasons but lifestyle reasons. And you can see it all the way through the conversation.
Sure, Gore Vidal, openly gay.
You're
Mr.
Right.
Buckley, not quite.
And it's also
openly
a
hedonistic, not just gay, but
And it's also a capsule from a time when the public intellectual was a bona fide star. I mean, this was all contextualized in the fact that I think it was ABC. Was that the network
it was
that
ABC,
brought them
up? Yeah.
Was it
at
the bottom of the ratings? And they needed to gin up viewership during the political conventions.
So they asked two intellectuals to
talk
about
it. What else are you going to do, right? Ask a couple of eggheads on to talk. And it caught fire. So it's also this kind of glimpse at a bygone time of our era where intellectuals were not they were not despised the way they are now, and they were true intellectuals. I mean, they were absolutely beautifully educated men,
right,
with great minds and great verbal swordsmanship skills, and it's thrilling.
Yeah, I saw a few clips of their debates just recently when I watched a movie about Gore Vidal, and so it was in the context of that movie, so this is a much fuller picture of that, but it really is incredible how smart both of them are.
It's just...
And it's amazing to think that that's what commercial television was, too, in the 1960s, when we didn't know better. The closing night of the festival is a documentary about Mavis Staples and the Staples Singers. It's called Mavis, and this is a movie by Jessica Edwards, and she's a film Maryland Film Festival alum.
Yeah, we had her in opening night. She did a short, a beautiful little film about the last manufacturer and distributor of seltzer water in Brooklyn, all handmade in those big heavy squirt bottle things, you know. It's called Seltzer Works is her short, which is available. Neither of us have seen Mavis yet, but I can't wait. I've heard great things about it, and it's so great that AFI's got this as their closing film.
Yeah, and I remember seeing that thing about the seltzer water, and it was just mesmerizing.
Wasn't it wonderful?
See, you do go to the movies.
I do. I went to the opening night of the festival that year.
And you know what I remember the most was the sound. I mean, just the sound of the bubbles and the fizz. I mean, it was so beautifully edited and mixed, and it was just an all-around sensory experience, so I can't think of anyone better to capture the sound of Mavis Staples.
Yeah,
and then we're also in the middle of all of this wonderfulness at AFI Docs, I get to interview Stanley Nelson.
Terrific.
At the Guggenheim Symposium. So people should come down and
when
check it
that,
out. It's going to be fun. It's going to be Friday night, the
19th.
Thank you.
And his,
7
and his
o'clock
film,
at the National Archives.
And his film Black Panthers was at our festival, and we turned away hundreds of people.
Right.
It's a great
remember
film.
That was one of the most highly anticipated and attended ones at the film festival. And congratulations, the festival went very well. Briefly, we just got a couple seconds as we finish up. You've had a couple of big announcements about the progress of the new theater, the Parkway Theater.
Yeah, we have a film online now, parkwaycampaign.org, about the new film center, A Borning, and we will launch the public campaign on October 23rd, which is the 100th birthday of the Parkway Theater.
October 23rd, I'll be sure to be hiding on that day. So it's a fundraising campaign. All right, Jed Dietz, Anne Hornaday, good to see you both. Thank you so much.
See you at the movies, Tom.
On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. We will have complete information about the movies we talked about on our website at wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for being with us.